better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by Parry Athletics, the best pair of training shorts in the game. They do rashies, they do shirts, but what I love is they have shorts for you to roll in as well as shorts for you to chill in. I love them because they're so multi-purpose and they look awesome. Now, you can get your hands on these and you get 20% off with the code BULLETPROOF20 at checkout. Get yours today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. Are your shoulders jacked, tight, sore? This is a problem, and we want to help you with that problem. So here's the deal. A lot of the time, people say, oh, I don't do overhead press, or I've stopped doing bench press. My shoulders are just fucked. You go, okay, well, what are you doing about that? Nothing. Okay, cool. We want to help you. I believe most people are not doing what they need to do to get their shoulders ready, and therefore they're suffering when they don't need to. And there's a few very easy things that you can do which are going to help prepare your shoulders for jiu-jitsu, also for lifting, so that you are moving well and therefore you can get stronger. Because I think shoulder injury is a big fucking problem in BJJ.
Yeah, shoulders are one of those chronic things, isn't it, that you see with adults that are usually dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Or not dysfunctional, but just a bit fucked up. The way I kind of see it is like, you know, you got two main engines, hips and shoulders.
Yes.
And hips are kind of straightforward, like big, strong, simple sort of joint. But shoulders are a really complicated joint.
Very complicated.
Yeah. And so I think the big observation for you guys listening is if you're not using your shoulder, like if you're not sort of regularly expressing all of the different ranges of motion that your shoulder's capable of, you are going to experience problems because of that.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem might be that you try to express those ranges when you're at the gym and you find yourself getting really sore and like irritating the joint or tissues around it. Or maybe it's like you keep fucking your shoulders up on the mat.
Yeah.
And you think it's because of how you're rolling, but in reality, it's just because mechanically your shoulders don't work very well.
Yeah. Habitual stuff off the mat is resulting in problems.
Exactly.
Yeah. And look, the way it was expressed to me from Andrew Locke is he said, look, the shoulders are freaking complicated because it's not a true joint. It's just a bone that's kind of hanging attached with all this stuff. Whereas like the ball and socket joint of the hip, it's, you know, it's right.
Clearly
there.
A joint.
Clearly a joint in that way. And so, look, when I'm thinking...
Why is the shoulder joint so complex, JT?
Oh, man. God. I'm probably not the right person to say this, but if we could boil it down, because your scapula is going to move like this kind of around the back if it's functioning well. Your humerus, your upper arm bone, is going to go up and back, but it can go out to the side and it can go all the way around. And the thing is, like you were saying, Joe, most people don't even lift their arms up above their head.
Mm.
Like day to day, how often are you...
If you're in a shirt and a suit all day, you're not putting your arms overhead. You can't.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're a freaking scaffolder and your body...
Well, yeah, if you're on the tools...
Different.
But if you like think about the corporate life,
yeah,
you literally like trapped in a suit all day, and you can't do because your shirt's going to untuck, and you probably tear your shit.
yeah,
so you just stay here.
Yeah, but most of life doesn't.
Then you want to go to jits and be a fucking panther,
brah. But that's the thing, though, which is kind of it's just life. Everything we do is in front of us.
I wanted to get to a point there,
please,
about why the shoulder joint evolved like that. There's two key activities that they attribute to the development of the shoulder joint. The first is brachiation, which is our chimpanzee heritage.
Sure.
And swinging. You look at chimps, they swing from branch to branch. So that's like this, you know, obviously really strong, but like the overhead position is just something you're doing all the time.
Yeah.
And you're also loading through it and moving. And that's why you see kids do that very easily and then adults don't, because kids are, you know, haven't had a chance to fuck themselves up yet and neglect the shoulder.
For sure.
But also, I believe, the act of throwing.
Yes.
Yeah, so you know, mechanically throwing is like a really advanced movement, right? Like a highly complex movement.
Yes.
But it's really, like, I mean, I don't think any other animal does it. We're the only ones that do it.
Well, it forces you into, like, if you think about a thing I'd read was a study of baseball pitchers and boxers. Because when a boxer throws, like, a hook, they use a lot of the elastic properties of the shoulder. Same thing when you see a pitcher, they go into external rotation. You ever see a pitcher in baseball throw slow-mo? It's crazy how much force they generate off their shoulder.
Yeah.
We would have done it throwing rocks, throwing spears. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that was, you know, there's a lot of talk about, not a lot of talk, but different theories. But I think that there was a thing there where, like, the monkeys, like the chimps that emerged into the savannah, where it was no longer covered by trees, needed the ability to throw, to defend and to hunt and stuff.
Right.
And so that became this fucking thing. And then whatever, we're all the ones that are on Earth now. We got real good at it.
Yeah.
But again, and any 35 plus person who's like played a game of backyard cricket.
Oh, yeah.
When you try and pull out a fastball, you're like, fuck yeah, I remember how to do this. I'm fucking, yeah, you throw it. You're like, oh shit. Yeah, like,
yeah,
throwing is it's kind of like sprinting. If you sprint all the time, it's fine. You're good for it. But if you just try and turn it on again, you're probably going to tear some
wreck
shit.
Wreck your shit.
Yeah.
Well, for our American cousins, maybe it's just some backyard footy throwing. Because, you know, with NFL, they really throw. Or baseball.
Baseball.
Man, it's one of those things that's throwing.
Do you play baseball in the backyard?
Nah, I don't.
I think that's why cricket's superior.
I don't think cricket is superior, but I mean,
neither do I.
It's conjecture.
I fucking hate cricket. Just Jesus Christ.
Joey's just trying to get
you. But I will fastball the fucking shit out of any 8-year-old at Christmas time.
Obliterate. You got to know, they got to know the pecking order. They got to know the value of losing, don't they, Joe?
They fucking do.
Yeah, tears to fucking glory. More recently, I helped someone rehab their shoulder and they had actually hurt their shoulder doing too many pull-ups. So oftentimes when people are doing pull-up, at the bottom, if you're kind of losing tension and just hanging and the tissues aren't strong enough, you know, this person hadn't done a lot of pull-ups but wanted to do a lot. So they're probably kipping, fucking around.
Probably doing partial reps.
Yeah, and just, and had hurt.
No rep. That's a great no rep.
It's a brutal video. But
you saw it?
Yeah.
Right on.
It's brutal. But he'd hurt his rotator cuff. And he'd also hurt, I think he'd strained a ligament on the inside of his elbow from trying to do too much from not had a lot of training.
Yeah.
You know, people get passionate and they want to get into it and I don't want to curb people's enthusiasm, but if you don't actually prepare your shoulder before you start getting into some of this harder shit, whether it's pressing, pulling, anything, the chance of injury is higher. And often people will present, they'll go, oh, it just hurts at the front. But just because the pain is at the front of your shoulder doesn't mean that's because you have the injury here. It might be referring from the back. And it's because it's so complicated, we can't always know. But what I do know for sure, most of us who do jiu-jitsu have tight lats and tight pecs. So we talk about the kind of internally rotated position in the shoulder, which is kind of like a quarter to a Kimura in a way.
Yeah.
Your posture is Kimura-ing you.
Partway there, yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen it before where...
You're fucked either way because if it's not towards there, it's toward the figure four, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but at least if you've got the option, you know, I mean, if you don't have the option, you know, we've probably had...
Yeah, you don't want to be there by default.
No. It's a weak position.
Also doesn't look cool.
I think I'd heard some strength coaches talk about like bench press posture where you just see a guy like huge pecs but just...
Coiled up.
Yeah, just rounded in because they're so good at that one thing, but you try to get them to open up into a squat, they can't do it.
Yeah.
You've got to use a camber bar or use a safety bar because their shoulders just haven't got the tolerance. And in jiu-jitsu, we need that good range of motion. But you probably would have had the experience, Joe, where you're drilling a Kimura with somebody and they tap. You're
trying to work on the breaking mechanics.
Yeah, you're like, I'm just getting my grips here.
Refining.
And you're like, I haven't even applied the submission.
Yeah.
It's because there's so much tension around the shoulder because they just don't have that range of motion in a healthy way. And so how the fuck can we fix this for you before you start loading up your shoulders? Step one, I'm going to say we need to look at opening up through your thoracic spine because I think this is something that gets neglected. And then even though a lot of people kind of hate on using a foam roller or using rollers in general, taking some time to actually create extension at the spine is a huge thing for putting your shoulder back in a good place.
Yeah.
You do a bit of this, Joe?
Strongly agree. Yeah, foam rolling generally, it's like, But just using the roller to help your back get in, you're just using it as an obstruction, aren't you?
Yeah.
So that your upper back can bend the opposite way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, a couple of minutes on that. Like, I actually haven't done that for a while. I use some other techniques though to do the same shit.
Yeah.
And I find that that is, I mean, fuck, man, we're sitting down right now. We're sitting here for 2 hours.
Sure.
I'm sit down for another couple of hours today. I'll sit in the car for probably 90 minutes all up.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of sitting involved, even for active, like seemingly active individuals.
Healthy humans.
So
I saw Anthony was doing the thoracic work the other day in your small group with the plate.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that, because you do that too, right?
Yeah, that one we do a bunch of. So that's like, we actually had that in the program, in the Bulletproof program. It hasn't been reinstated right now, but it will be. And this is like an upper back opening strategy for people who want to zero in on that area. And I think getting on the foam roll is kind of the first thing. It's like, all right, that's entry level.
Yep.
But the beauty of this loaded thoracic extension is that, one, you're adding weight to it, but also your hips are off the ground, so you've got the ability to further pull into it actively.
Draw down.
So the idea is, if you've got, like, imagine a weight bench, and then you lie with your upper back resting on the edge of the bench, and then you're going to bring your arms up overhead, and you're going to raise your arms. You're going to be holding a weight plate, a small one, like 5 kilos is going to be plenty. And you're going to be raising it into the greatest overhead position you can get to. Mm. You're trying to, like, really open the shoulders up, and then at the same time, you're going to pull your hips towards the floor. So you're basically opening the shoulder and then drawing the hips down, which is creating this extension.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to fucking turbocharge that even more, you bring your knees together and you tuck your pelvis posteriorly. Oof. But getting into the weeds. But yeah, I really like that. I wouldn't give it to someone on day one.
No.
But if you're like, all right, I need to fucking undo this shit and I got like a few minutes, that's the one.
Yeah. How to unhunch yourself.
Because, you know, like, say some of the drills we also like, Cobra on the floor.
Sure. Cat stretch.
Yeah, cat stretch. Cat stretch, good, right? You can get a bit of weight into it. But say the Cobra, it's like, it's hard to get the load into the upper back.
Yep.
It's good, I find, for the abs and hip flexors. Yeah. Whereas this one, man, no one's getting away. Like, no, you cannot escape. You
cannot fucking hide.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good there. It's just something that people don't talk about, because we don't think about being able to open up to our spine. But after you do an exercise like that, you stand up, you think, fuck, I feel taller.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, because gravity is pulling you down.
And you actually haven't done anything to your shoulder.
No.
But your shoulder now functions better.
It sits in a better spot.
Yeah.
The analogy I try to give is, if you think of a wheel and you think about the axle in the middle, if you put the axle off to the side, when the wheel tries to turn, it will just kind of clunk, clunk. It's not going to move well. If the head of your humerus, like your upper arm bone, is forward and in, you go to move your arm, it's not going to give a proper smooth rotation. So when you are able to actually put the axle back in the middle, then the wheel can spin more smoothly.
I like that.
And so you should be able to generate that. So the next thing I'm going to talk about here is pecs. Titties, y'all. We all love them. It doesn't matter on a man or a woman. We love them. Arnold made big pecs popular. Before Arnold, no one really had a chest quite as big as his. And people got fucking obsessed.
Fuck, you had some pecs on him.
With titties. And the problem with this, my friends, is, like, obviously, you know, bench pressing, it's popular. But just having shitty posture and just doing stuff in front of you all day, you don't have to have massive pec muscles to have tight pec muscles.
Yeah.
Right? So tight and strong, it doesn't always have to go together. You can have weak and tight muscles too. But that shoulder being pulled forward like that, it doesn't allow you to go into enough external rotation to have a good overhead position. So you really got to try and loosen up through the titties. And this is the thing. For some people, it can be the way they sleep. It can be the way they work. It can be a lot of contributing factors. A lady I used to train, who had 4 children, her left arm was crazy internally rotated. And I didn't really get it because she's right-handed. Generally, what I've found is people who have a dominant side, they're usually a bit tighter on that side. Mm. That was her cradling side. That was the side that she held her kids on.
Yeah.
4 kids, man.
Yeah.
That's a long time holding weight in that position. So it was functional to serve the purpose of looking after her kids, you know. But man, fuck me, it was a lot of work to try and get that shoulder healthy.
Wow, yeah.
And so the thing that I will always do with people is I will usually get them to really smash the kind of pec minor, pec major, usually with a lacrosse ball, and then do like a scorpion stretch or a side-lying rotation just to really try and get the rotation and get the shoulder open.
Yeah.
And then after that, people, I find it just across the board, people are like, oh, my arm doesn't hurt to lift my arm. Is there anything that you like for opening up the chest?
I like it, the ones you mentioned there. I also like just the classic old pec stretch against the wall,
yeah,
which is the one that you see every dude do when he gets up after bench press at the gym.
Yeah.
They just like put their hand on the wall
90
and like
degrees,
pretend to stretch their chest.
Lean.
It's actually a really effective stretch, I find, if you do it intentionally.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can play with the placement of the arm to hit sort of different parts of the pec, you know. My pecs aren't big enough to warrant like different sections. It's just one muscle.
Ziz would be embarrassed.
It's funny, right? Because you can do like all the overhead stuff. You can even do the shoulder like extension stuff.
Work, yeah.
And you can get the shoulders nice and open. But still, if I go into a pec stretch where the difference area is that the arm is out the side of the body,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, we didn't hit that. Like,
yeah,
that's its own thing.
Yeah. So I think that this is a really good box for people to tick before they start trying to do stuff overhead. Now, we don't often think of it in this way when we're doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but Joey and I were just talking about this before. Sometimes you get fucking forced there. You don't have a freaking choice. Big Joe Daddy's got you under mount. Shout out to our friend Marina.
Yeah, what a legend.
And has got the double underhooks.
No big deal. I'm working on the mount at the moment. And with my...
forces you up like this.
Female training partner yesterday.
Squashed.
Probably 40 kilos on her, a lot of years. And, you know, I'm working on my shit. So I mounted her. I fucking dug those double underhooks.
Oh, my God.
I kind of quasi-smother choked her.
Of course you did.
Came up into the S-mount, worked on the squeeze of the S-mount, and then just at the very end, finished with the armbar. And I was like,
son of a bitch.
Marina, I'm sorry. she's like, I don't give a shit.
She's great. Good for it. Marina is tough.
Yeah,
we love her.
She's a fucking legend.
Shout out, Marina. You are a gun. You're a gangster.
But old Joey would have like stopped partway and be like, nah, dog move.
Black dog Joey something says else. No.
Yeah, I'm like, I got a plan. I got to stick to the plan.
And you need to learn. You need to know the value of failure.
But yeah, that's right. Jits is the act of putting some, you know,
other
human
person
in a position that they don't want to be in.
And that makes them give up.
Yeah, and so it's like, well, your elbow goes above your shoulder line and you start to feel shoulder pain, man, you're really going to get yourself into some bad situations on the mats.
Yeah, you want to have the bandwidth to do it. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't do shoulder press. I don't give a shit about that. Yeah, but it might be the load of a human forcing your arm there. So you need to be able to stabilize the joint and be safe.
Yeah.
So this idea of preparing your shoulders is just you preparing yourself not to get injured at jiu-jitsu, really. So after you've loosened up the pecs, the other fucking criminal here is your lats. Now, we all use our lats a lot, whether we're, you know, pulling in the gi or we're snapping down. As jiu-jitsu folks, we use our lats a lot. But here's the deal. It is an internal rotator. If your lats are fucking tight, it's really hard to lift your arms up. And what I've found is, like, getting people to, like, stretch their lats, loosen up their lats is usually pretty uncomfortable, but once they do that, they can lift their arms up with a lot less resistance.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this, Joseph?
Side hang cobra.
My God. Actually, that's fucking brutal.
Yeah, I posted a video of someone doing it the other day. A guy I know who's like a bit of a movement guy just responded, the only lat stretch worth doing. I was like, yeah, my guy. But
it's a toughie.
Yeah.
It's a tough spot.
It's like a rocket launcher for the lats. It is pretty aggressive. The scaled back versions, like that side hang on a bar, stretching the side of the body with your arm overhead.
Yeah.
And I think when you do it, you realize, oh, I never visit this position.
Mm.
You know, like I just don't, in strength, in stretching, most of us never go there.
Doesn't naturally occur.
Nah, I'm about the lats.
And
that's the big muscle on your back, by the way. Huge ones, kind of like the wings.
Under the armpit.
Yeah, if you reach back under your armpit and grab that hunk of muscle, that's your lat.
Feel it.
It's a good handle in jiu-jitsu for no gi.
Oh, yeah. You just fucking get that hand around.
Yeah.
It's like a big rock climbing hold.
Yeah. It's the green hold.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I got all four fingers in.
Dig your fingers in that bad boy. I used to be obsessed because I was like, oh, I want to do weighted pull-ups. And, you know, like having strong lats is the most important thing. But what I didn't appropriately understand early in my jiu-jitsu journey is as much as, yeah, you want to be able to pull from your lats, you also want to be able to pull from your scapula. Like you want to be able to engage your scaps before you're just pulling from the lats. And so...
I mean, are they not one and the same in that way?
They are, but if we think about scapular retractors as like more like rhomboids, lower traps, rotator cuffs, if you pull from
the lat more depresses, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it also... Don't crucify me if I get this wrong, but just bear with me. I'll bro this out as best I can. If we think about being able to pull your shoulder blade back and down, you actually, I mean, you do use your lat partially, but you don't have to pull your elbow actively in and down. You can do that at the shoulder joint as the shoulder blade moves back and down. But with your lat, if you think about pulling your elbow down towards your rib cage, that's where you're really getting it. And if you look at a lot of the time when people really engage their lats, they bend down to the side as well. Anyway, this is what I wanted to say. If you can loosen up your lats, it will make your overhead position easier.
Yep.
So before you start chucking big weights up, whether you're doing snatches or overhead presses or any kind of bench press, like some people will look to engage their lats, but I would say for the best part, people never stretch there. Stretching there, loosening up there will help you. The next step is actually getting your scaps working, because this is the thing where people suck. You go, okay, we'll do a scap push-up. People can't fucking do it. You get people to hang from a bar and you're like, right, just draw down through your scaps. It's not there. People always want to bend the elbow. They always want to use their bicep and their forearm. They want to use their lats. They want to lean back. And really, we're just talking about your ability to bring your shoulder blades back down and in, and then also take them the other way and protract. So as much as you can...
You're talking active hang, scap push-up?
Both.
Okay.
Both. You can do either, even though they stress the body slightly differently.
Yep.
So what I found is, like, even myself, I think, oh, yeah, my shoulders are pretty healthy. And then I go to do those things, and I'm like, oh, it's a bit jammy. It's a bit fucking awkward.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a natural thing to do. But once I've done a set or two of them, I'm like, oh, shoulders feel great, you know? We want to basically... take off the handbrake, so get rid of the stuff that's limiting your ability to move well, and then throw in a few things that are going to get you engaging better.
Yeah.
And I just think it's probably more of a coordination thing. It's just something we don't practice so much.
Yeah, I agree. It's, most people I find, you teach a scap pull-up or a scap push-up or an active hang too, they can't do it because it's just like the wiring's not there yet.
Mm.
And then you kind of got to tell them, you know, it's keep your elbows locked and just focus on squeezing here. And then once people get that, it's like, okay, I can do it. Mm. But there's an interesting thing in that. What people learn when you take them through that process is that there are many moving parts to the shoulder. Mm. There's the movement of the arm, like the glenohumeral joint, but then there is the movement of the scapula.
Yep.
And if you kind of don't understand that there's these multiple working parts, you probably are never really going to be setting your shoulder
well
in an optimal way when you're doing your strength training.
Mm.
Whereas once you understand it, and it's not a lot to understand, it's like, hey, shoulder joint does this, scapula does this, here's the relationship.
Yep.
Let's practice it with a few kind of isolated movements.
Yep.
You're like, ah, okay, I kind of get the relationship now.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a real like upgrade for folks, particularly in the gym.
Aha moment. Like,
yeah, where you're like, fuck. Say whoever your mate doing the pull-ups.
Yep.
I would imagine was not thinking at all about setting the scapula when doing the pull-ups.
No way.
So it meant that it's just fucking destroying the elbows and like dumping into the shoulders, right?
Yeah.
If you can teach someone who's like actively working on pull-ups how to set the scap correctly, their pull-up, while it will be a little bit harder initially because it's a new coordination, their potential now for strength goes through the roof.
So much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Like I was going to say, you know, you've done a video before on our YouTube channel about, you know, how to improve your pull-up, like perfect your pull-up.
Yeah.
And you talk about being able to set there. And the best analogy...
Go back and watch that, by the way. Like and subscribe. Share with your friends.
Yeah.
YouTube guys, we're all over it.
This is what it is when you're a YouTuber.
I think I got a mullet in that video
you
too.
You do. It's a savage mullet. Like it's
so aggressive.
Bro, you were so proud.
I know. It took you me so long it. To grow it.
Nah, well, you were invested.
Yeah,
it's okay. And it was a good time. I enjoyed it. I think everyone did.
Not everyone.
Not me.
No, she was cool. She was down for whatever, I think. But
she loves you as you are.
I copped plenty of hate.
Oh, of course.
Bro, shave that fucking thing off.
Mate, in Australia, that was a hard trend. It's still kind of pervasive now. So just thinking about your scapular overhead position, because we don't spend time there, we suck. And when you get forced there, fuck, it's a big problem. You know, like you have no way to get out. Like if we go back to that thing you're talking about, Joe, about being on mountain, forcing someone's arms up like this, if you're not strong or stable there, you might just tap to just being forced there. You have no way to work out of there. You have no flexibility. You have no tolerance or bandwidth for being in that position. We want you to improve that. We want you to be okay there. So actually spending some time in the overhead position is key. And because we don't, we suck. So I thought I'd throw to you on this one, Joe. What do you find is a good thing for people to do on the reg to kind of be practicing to help improve that overhead position? What's your kind of go-to?
Hanging.
Hang.
Yeah, just hang. And if you are cool with the hanging and you can do that, okay, great. Then focus on pulling the rib cage down.
Right.
If we look at the overhead pressing, right, what we're looking to achieve there is feet, hips, shoulders, and then the weight in your hands, all in one vertical line, right?
Yep.
Now, people who are tight in the shoulders are going to naturally arch back in order to achieve this. Yeah. Now, a little bit of arch is fine, right? Especially if it's heavy and stuff. But if you can't get your shoulder into a good kind of overhead position, you're going to have to compromise elsewhere. So hanging is kind of the simplest way to just align all of those things. But this upgrade of the rib cage is now instead of the torso, because if we can think of the rib cage and the upper torso, that's kind of like that's your trunk position. Mm-hmm. If you can now pull the rib cage down, it tilts the trunk into that vertical spot. And that places now more of a stretch into the shoulder.
Opens massively.
Yeah, so I find like when I'm hanging, just that little cue of like ribs down. Yeah, it's just like a little 5%er.
Yeah. Well, for some of us more tighter folks, it might be more like a 15%er.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I've said this to Joe a couple of times because we've got some stall bars here at Jungle Brothers Church of Gaines. And I find for me in particular, if I'm doing like a leg raise in that position, I mean, it's tough. Abs, quads, everything's going to feel it. But I do find the stretch. Yeah, because you can't lean, you can't compensate. You're forced into extension.
When you're doing it on the stall bars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I tend to feel it quite deep in the shoulder. I'm like, oh.
Ah, yeah.
You know, like I probably don't spend enough time in that position. And so it's an interesting thing. For me, the thing that I always try and encourage people to do is just spend some time. Not if you don't have a chin-up bar or anything like that, because some people don't. Just a pole, just whether it be something connected to your balcony or just a street post, grabbing it and leaning and hanging into your lat. And just that's just a good place to start to bringing your shoulder into, you know, into that stretch position so that when you do come to do something which is way harder, way loaded, whether it's jiu-jitsu or pressing a barbell or a kettlebell, it's easier for you to do.
Yeah, you've been there. You know, a really simple one that everyone's got access to is just use your doorway.
Oh, yeah.
And you just go hands up onto the top of the door frame.
Yep.
And then just like sink forward and down.
Oh, right.
You know, so you're like pressing weight into the hands, you're hanging into the shoulder.
Yeah.
Because here's what we know, right? Your body gets good at staying in the shape that it spends most of its time in.
Yes.
So if you sit down most of the time, you're going to stay in that shape. Now, you know, people often criticize stretching and saying that it's only short term.
Mm.
Here's the big fucking thing. Everything that's physiological is short term, right? You do strength training today, it doesn't mean shit a month from now.
No.
You need to do it.
You got
to
keep it up.
Every few days, forever.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to be strong.
Of course.
Jacked, tanned, all of the above. So stretching then, you can look at it as I go and do a stretch session. Okay, I'm going to tick off my things, whatever. And that's a more practical solution for a lot of people. But if you can be getting into certain positions, like an overhead position, just throughout your day, that probably then means like you're maintaining a really nice range of motion there.
Yeah.
So it's like if you can build hanging or sinking into the doorway or stretching your pecs while you're in a fucking having coffee with someone at the park or I don't know, in an office meeting or some shit, you're now sprinkling that stuff in. Your body's, you're moving.
Yeah.
You're moving regularly. If you've got something that's a chronic issue for you, obviously we're talking about shoulders today, if you can get something in on the daily, that's where you actually make the huge gains.
Yeah, definitely. The thing that really improved my shoulder strength was just including overhead pressing just more regularly. Like it didn't have to be a full session. It's just like, I'm going to do some get ups. I'm going to do some presses.
And like working, hard working sets or sometimes warm up?
They talk about, so Pavel talks about like greasing the groove. You just do like, so they would break the session up over the day. We've kind of talked about this with pull ups where, you know, you've got a pull up bar and every time you walk through the door, 5 pull ups, something like that. It was around the idea of just practicing the skill of the movement.
Right.
And so what I did, because my shoulders was my weakest thing, was just add in 2 sessions a week, which is just 3 sets of pressing and a couple of get-ups. It's made a fucking world of difference. And it actually made everything below it stronger. My horizontal pressing got stronger. My dips got stronger. Like, just by becoming stronger in my weakest position, I got stronger in my other positions.
Yeah.
Which for me was mind-blowing.
You know what we should do?
Please.
There's a cool thing. Ido used to do the hang challenge.
Okay.
And it was 30 days. You got to hang total of 2 minutes per day every day.
He did a squat version of this,
right? A squat challenge. Yeah, that was like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They're actually quite hard. You're like, 2 minutes hang, I can get that done. But fucking very quickly you end up, oh shit, I'm about to go to bed. I didn't do the hang today. Shit, I can't hang. I'm in my apartment. Man, I got to go down to the park. And, you know, but we should do something like that. What that does is it forces the regularity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at the end of that 30 days, you're like, my shoulder's different.
Yeah.
Like I feel different now. Yeah. You can see the benefit. You don't have to keep it at that frequency. It shines a real big spotlight on there for you.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned, our friends. We will be bringing you the new Bulletproof Challenge very soon.
Oh, but boom. Look out for it.
There it is. Thank you, fam.
Good one. Thanks, guys. Thanks, man.